How much time do you spend working on you? What kind of investment have you made in you?
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. You want something, go get it. Period.
Hi, I'm Brandon Turton.
And I'm Carl Turton.
Welcome to Tight Mates Podcast.
5 books that will change your perspective on life, Carl, is today's episode.
They are. They are 5 books that we both love. They all have a great representation of, you know, changing your mindset or changing habits or changing the way you look at money. So there's a few books, financial, self-help books, that's largely, and a few ones that I guess are history as well.
Yeah.
Partly.
That's it. A little bit of history as well, just giving you perspective on some things that's happened in the world and people coming out of those events as well, and how they can, you know, change their life,
find
even through the gravest of times. But it's funny, we talk about these books, but going back maybe 3-4 years ago, I would have never thought I would be reading books. During high school, it was just not a thing that I would do. Don't know what it is, but I do wish I'd started earlier. And if you can take something from this, I would suggest starting as early as you can and maybe starting with some of these books, Carl.
And maybe the first book that we're going to announce is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And maybe, you know, reading this book, you're able to produce a habit where maybe when you go to bed, you're off the phone and you start reading a book. So it's, I guess, probably one of the best books to start for self-help, because essentially you just look at it a way that your whole life is revolved around habits. And that's basically what it is. How many good habits do you have? How many bad habits do you have? If you have more of the bad, then it's probably a few things that you need to change.
Yeah, you don't want those bad habits really accumulating in your life, because it could spiral in a downwards projection, I guess. I know we've spoken about this book many times, but once again, we really have to just, you know, have a quick chat about it. But some of the things that I really love about it is...
So what was the biggest lessons that you took from it?
Well, probably identifying the things that need changing in your life, and then, you know, the rest will follow, basically.
Yeah, it definitely does. So, you know, I guess for example, if the way James puts it is you've got to change your identity is who you are. So one of the examples that James made was the approach of that's trying to quit and someone offers them a cigarette. The first person says, no thanks, I'm trying to quit smoking. So they're still recognized as someone that does smoke in a way. But the second person is, no thanks, I don't smoke. So you just eliminate that identity, I'm not a smoker anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, just changing the way you word things, even with, I'm not a runner. So changing, you might only run 3 kilometers, but you're still a runner.
Yeah.
So if you say, oh, I'm a runner, then, you know, you sort of change that idea of what that looks like.
It is also a bit of an affirmation as well, in a way. Like when you say, I am something, you're more likely to do it. And, you know, one thing growing up, I may still say this a little bit, is I'm not good at maths. But because I've said that, I believe that, but really, if I say I can do maths, then geez.
Yeah, it's just, it is changing that thought process. What do you have to say about compound interests of self-improvement?
Yeah, so just like compounding your wealth over time as you invest, if you can compound self-improvement with, you know, really good habits over time, they do really add up. And if you're compounding it in a positive direction, with your good habits, then you never know what could happen in your life. You could really, you know, do some great things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, in the short term, it doesn't feel like you're going very far with, you know, the small habits that you've introduced, the good habits. But definitely over time, those one percenters, they make a big difference. And, you know, you through the example, like when James did the British cycling team, he brought them up. And, you know, they were terrible. It was Pelodrone riding, was it?
I think so. It was,
yeah,
I believe.
So it was in the Olympics, and the British cycling team, they were never good. And then there was a period where they started to dominate because this one coach produced all these good habits of the one percenters, whether that was like making sure the tire pressure is precise, just all those one percenters, washing hand, even? Yeah,
down to even washing hands. I think it went like every single thing that they did in their life, they had to abide by the best one percenters that they could think of, which was very interesting. And from them going from a very poorly performing team, I should say, to one of the best, that it just shows that, you know, over time, compounding those one percenters,
it is evident. Yeah, definitely. So, Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's probably the best first book to start with if you haven't read books before, with self-help.
Easy read as well.
Yeah, it is, definitely. And also, if you want to subscribe to his emails, you'll get an email from him every Friday morning. I think it's Thursday for America, but Friday for us. And essentially, he gives you three ideas from him, two ideas from others, and a question. And they're always awesome.
So how do you subscribe to his email? Through
jamesclear.com, maybe? Yeah. Oh, no, you go through Atomic Habits.
Or even through his Instagram, I think there's a link.
Yeah, there would be a link
you can
there.
Click and then, yeah, subscribe to those emails, and they're really good. They'll also keep you on track as well if you're trying to abide by some of the things that you've read in the book. Mm-hmm. Just brings up a bit of memory as well. All right. So the second book. The second book is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza.
It is this is probably one of the first books that I read when I was starting. And it just blew my mind.
It is
very deep. Like there is definitely a few sections that, you know, throw you off a little bit, but essentially Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself there's a few, parallels with Atomic Habits and this book where it's, you know, like your habits as well. The biggest one is being conscious of your unconscious mind. And this one blew my mind because I never thought it in that process. So the biggest lesson that I took from this book was when you have a emotion, like something happens, say you're in a roadblock or something and you're getting angry with people that, you know, it's not their fault, it's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really angry about this. So when you're angry, you get frustrated, and then when you're frustrated, you can't, you know, you don't want to listen to other people, clearly, yeah. You're not thinking clearly, and then when you're not thinking clearly, you make stupid mistakes, and it's just this cascade effect where, you know, always it gets worse and worse, whereas if you, you know, acknowledge what's going on, you can change that habit of thinking. So, yeah, it's all... He breaks it down like...
It goes pretty deep.
Yeah, like your brain has synapses, and if they're always, you know, triggering together with negative thoughts, then you're going to continue to have negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can break the synapses then and change it to positive thinking, then it does change.
And in a way that can link to, you know, a lot of people go victim mentality where they're like, oh, shit, my car's broken down again or my... the wheels going flat, whereas some people can see that as, you know, a victim or it's always happening to me. But then there's other people that will go, oh, well, this is an opportunity for me to, you know, change my tire. I haven't done it in a while. Like, I'm not sure if I remember how to do it. It's been that long. So, it's, you know, people can have two very different perspectives on how they deal with a problem that comes up in their life as well.
Yeah, I think this book, yeah, it really does establish those points, and you know, it makes you more aware of your thinking process, and you can catch yourself off, like, you know, you might get like, what's the point of getting angry about something so small that like, say you're in a roadblock again, you get to work and you're frustrated, and then you put it out on your employees or your co-workers. So, you know, you just think about it right there and then. And
that's, you know, good book to think about, well, read, because it gets you thinking about that cascade of events that can happen from something negative that was out of your control that happened possibly.
Yeah. So why should you read this book? Well, essentially what all we've just said, like, it opens up another realm of your thinking process. And, you know, if you're aware that you're always negative thinking, then, you know, maybe this is a good book to get started.
Definitely. A very good one. Third book that we have is linked with another one, but Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal book. Like, I wish I had read this when I was like 10 years old. It is awesome.
Mm.
Just the money mindset behind how this guy grew up in his life. Essentially, he had what he claimed to be a rich dad and a poor dad, due to how they use their money.
Mm-hmm.
And it really explains the terms assets and liabilities really well, which, you know, basically depicts how you make your money.
Yeah.
Or if you lose your money, I should say.
Mm, and
but, yeah, you go.
Like, if you're not aware of, like, the assets and liabilities, then, like, you're probably going to keep buying liabilities and you're not actually thinking about the long term. Like, I mean, it is good to have these material things if that's your way of happiness.
In a way, it may, which we'll speak about later from another book, but material things do not always make you happy.
Mm.
And if you can be aware of that early, then it can go a long way, I think. But probably the biggest lesson to come from it is knowing the difference between those assets and liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% being able to pay yourself first, even before those bills.
So what's that, man?
So basically, when your money comes into your account, you want to pay yourself first via investments or your savings.
Yep.
And then pay your bills second.
Okay.
So the thinking behind that is that you will always find a way, once you've paid yourself, to cover those bills.
For other people to live.
Yep. Yeah. Because you have to. So make sure you pay yourself first. So you're doing yourself that favor, basically.
No, it is a good big lesson. And also the way I saw it as well from this book was, it's not about how much money you make, it's about how much money you keep. That was probably the biggest lesson I took from it. You know, you can be on a salary of, say, $500,000, but you can still be in major debt with, you know, sports cars and boats and restaurants every night. You know, it adds up. And, you know, there's plenty of people in the same situation as what a person is with very limited salary.
We've all heard of that common story about how someone's won the jackpot and won like something ridiculous, $2 million or something, and they're bankrupt 2 years later. Like, how does that happen? And
liabilities.
A part of that is, they haven't brought the assets that they should have when they won that money.
Mm.
But why read it? Because it will 100% change your money mindset.
Mm.
And linking to this is another book, which is on top of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's called Cashflow Quadrant, by Robert.
Yep.
It's basically an extension from Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So read Rich Dad, Poor Dad first, and then move on to this one.
Mm-hmm.
I've just recently actually finished listening to it as well, but basically it explains the different ways that you can earn money. And he talks about, well, quadrant, just think of there being a square, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the left side, who are employees, and under that they have, E for employees, and then they have S for small business or self-employed on one side. And then on the right side, they have B for like big business or all that business. Eventually, you do not have to run it yourself. And then on the bottom right side was I for an investor. So it basically explains these different ways that you can earn money.
Yep.
Which overall can... you know, really change the amount of money that you can make.
The outcome, really.
The outcome,
really. So is it essentially, I haven't read Cash Flow Quadrant, but is it you establish what you are and try and perform the best in that quadrant?
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, you establish, work out what you are at the moment. And as you listen to him explain these different areas in your life, by the end of it, you'll work out which side you want to go to.
Okay.
Or if you're happy staying where you are. But from it, I can gather, I know I definitely want to push towards that right side or even that S, but not be an employee forever. There's nothing wrong with being one. But that I for investor, I'm already doing it. And he also talks about, you know, your different stages of being an investor. So you've got 1, 2, 3, and 4. Off the top of my head, I can't point out what they are, but it's pretty much like one, starting off with like your small investments and then moving towards bigger investments like your houses, apartments, etc. So, very, very good read or listen, I should say. Take action if you really want to make the change after you read that book.
I guess it gives you a perspective too with the different quadrants and how they work, what type of pressure they have, like, and the type of money that's necessary to be in that quadrant.
Exactly
right. All right, nice one. So the fourth book, this is a pretty damn good one. It's Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. We do definitely love this dude. He's big on social media. He loves his rants. He goes crazy sometimes.
He's but, a podcast with Joe Rogan as well. Probably made him big.
Yeah. But essentially, who Goggins is, it starts off with his childhood and how he was in an abusive family. Like, his father was very abusive. Goggins was also illiterate as well, I believe. So, you know, he was that kid that had the victim mentality.
And in a way, he actually was a victim, I do believe. You can state he is truly a victim. But did he stay a victim, Kyle?
He didn't. He did go through some big transformations, but, like, he had plenty of failures on the way. And I guess that's the journey of the victim going to the hero on a mission.
An extreme mission, I could say.
It was an extreme. Well, it still is, actually. So, you know, the biggest lessons is, like, it's you against you, and it's only you holding yourself back. No one cares what you're doing. It's based on what actions you want to take and how you're going to do that. What do you have, Brando?
Well, I would think about why exactly do you want to read this book? Well, for me, I think it'll change your mentality, because it will also give you inspiration to want to change as well. If you are definitely, you know, sort of are the victim sometimes, like, you bring it in the victim mindset, you'll sort of become conscious of that.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, it doesn't matter what your story is. Anyone can change dramatically. It comes down to you. So, you know, you get rid of those bullshit excuses of what's holding you back, or even, you know, trauma is a big thing, but, you know, how can you come out of it stronger?
Yeah.
So you got to look at it from that way. So, you know, stop being a victim. You know, through all pain and suffering, you do get stronger.
Yeah, 100% it makes you stronger. You think, well, I've been through that, I can definitely do this next thing, whatever that may be in your life.
And some of the great things in it too was he had challenges along the way. And, you know, these challenges, the one that I can think of is the cookie jar. So essentially what the cookie jar is, say, I don't know, if you're going for a run and your mindset's like, oh, I got to stop, I can't do this, you delve into your cookie jar and you look back at the things that you've achieved or obstacles that you've got past. So say, you know, you've done something amazing at work, you've saved the business $100,000, like, you've done great things, you can keep going.
Yeah. I love that one.
Keep pushing through it.
Yeah, no, I really like that. Cole, is there another one? The accountability mirror?
Owning, there is.
Owning your insecurities? Yeah, tell me there... more about that one.
Yeah, he well, Goggins, what he did was, because he was very overweight, and he looked at himself in the mirror, and this is what he quoted. Well, not what he quote, well, it is quoted in the book. He said, if you look at yourself in the mirror and obviously see someone that is overweight, that means you're a bit fat. Own it. It's okay to be unkind to yourself. These moments make your skin thicker. So, you know, there's times where you got to be a realist and you got to look at yourself and establish what issues that you have, what can you do better? How can you do better?
Yeah.
What ways are you going to do that to change yourself?
Very good. And I've actually listened to this book on Audible as well as reading it hard copy because I loved it that much. And the Audible version actually has a podcast after each chapter, because some of those chapters you're probably thinking, no way that happened. But then he will actually
break it down.
And then the guy that interviews him as well will be like, he'll bring up, he actually was like, I researched this because I didn't believe it. And it actually happened.
So,
a very good book there. So get on to that one. Moving on to number 5, I think, almost there. So The Happiest Man on Earth by Eddie Jacko. And on top of that one, we have Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
So who is Eddie in The Happiest Man on Earth? What's it about?
Yeah, so they're both about the Holocaust, but Eddie's story is a little bit different to Victor's. They both obviously survivors of the Holocaust. And Eddie, he went through some crazy things, like, and his journey through the concentration camps, and just his perspective when he was going through them as well. Like, he talks about how people lost their hope to live, and you could really tell they just changed, and like,
and when that happened
they were the first ones to you know, unfortunately pass away, but he always had that hope in his heart, and so that's why he truly, with a little bit of luck as well, truly believes that he got through the Holocaust. And he also sort of talks about how, you know, now he's sort of accepted everything that's happened, and he's truly like the happiest man alive, like very grateful for what he has now, but also is aware of the past.
And I think he speaks about how he doesn't resent you know, the Nazis anymore, what happened, because essentially I think I heard this the other day, it's, you know, when you're resentful, it's like drinking poison hoping that the other person will die.
Yeah.
Like, when you're resentful, it bottles up in yourself, and you're the only one that, you know, suffers from it. So it was a good perspective from Eddie, and it definitely does make you grateful for life. And it makes you appreciate, you know, how easy we have it compared to what they had to go through.
Yeah.
So you look at like all these small things that might happen in your life, and you think it's the biggest deal in the world, but it's really nothing compared to what's happened in the past.
Yeah, and what these guys had to go through is pretty extreme. But yeah, awesome reads, and I highly recommend them both.
Another one was just with that. Sorry, I want to make sure that I get everything out of the book.
Okay, go for it.
Another one was when Eddie was in the Holocaust. He spoke about how the body is the most sophisticated and beautiful machine in the world. And he sees people that just abuse it and don't appreciate it, like always having alcohol and, you know, it's toxic, it's no good for your body, or, you know, just not doing the right things for your body, because the way he saw it was, you only got this one machine your whole life, so take care of it, because you're the one operating it, and, you know, you don't want to have these issues that, you know, are chronic.
Yeah. And when you are treating your body pretty badly, you're obviously way more likely to have, you know, these cancerous things come up or
issues
with, yeah.
And what about Viktor Frankl, Brando?
Well, I'm currently about halfway through that book at the moment. And at the moment, it's just kind of going through some of the things he went through. So he was a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they didn't care at all when they found out he was a doctor. They treated him pretty much like anyone else.
Right.
And just his mindset as well was pretty, like, phenomenal compared to, like, again, some other people. He, again, held on to his hope throughout the whole thing. And in a way, that's probably how he got through it.
So it was having a purpose.
And a meaning in his life. Mm. And obviously, yeah, it's in the title, Man's Search for Meaning. So that whole time he was able to, you know, think of his family.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, gee, one day I will go see them, even though that they had actually passed away.
Okay.
But he still has found meaning in his life even after that, even after finding out that they all pretty much passed away.
Mm.
So pretty remarkable.
It is. It does show you how important it is to have a purpose and meaning in life. You know, when people get older, you know, sometimes they don't want to retire because that's their purpose, doing that job, and they really love it. Whereas if they did finish, maybe, you know, they don't have such a purpose. And I think there was stats saying how those that don't have purposes when they're older, like, they fade away quicker.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have that thrive and push.
That will to live on, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
Nah, very good books.
You've got an honourable mention.
Yeah, I've got to add an extra one here.
Couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't. But it's actually The Resilience Project by, he's stuffed his name up, but Hugh
Kallenberg.
Kallenberg, that's the one. Thank you, Kyle.
Well done.
But also a really good book. It follows like mental health. And one thing that I got it from, it was the GEM principle. So that breaks down into gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness.
Yep.
And also becoming sort of more present and being grateful for what you do have and what you don't have in life.
Mm-hmm.
So gratitude, basically appreciating things that you do have rather than what you don't have.
Mm.
I know, again, in this very materialized world, a lot of people think, you know, I'm going to be happy when I get this car, but when they get that car, they're looking for the next thing and they're not happy. So,
yeah, I agree with that one. It's always someone, you know, material things always wanting more. But it's material things, they don't make you happier in the long run. Short term, maybe, you know, you got the car for a week, awesome, have fun with it. But, you know, you're always wanting, you know, maybe even a year later, a new model comes out and you're like, oh, I need to get that car. So,
Kyle, how good do you feel when you do something for someone? That helps them out as well.
Yeah, definitely. It is rewarding. So
that's empathy.
Okay.
Which I really need to do more of myself.
I was about to say the same thing.
Like, but the little things that you do get done for other people, you really feel good about it. So, you know, adding that to, you know, your life will also help.
Even like if that's approach of, you know, joining a charity and doing something bigger than yourself, then, you know, it does mean a lot. And it does mean a lot to those that maybe suffering. It depends on the charity or what you're doing. It does make a big difference.
And then that last one was mindfulness as well.
How does that look?
Which is very, I guess, broad in a way, but it's basically becoming more, you know, present in where you are at the moment, instead of worrying about, you know, what's happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. You're right here, right now. You know,
and
enjoy it. Enjoy the process.
A lot of people talk about meditation, and a lot of people see it as a way that, no, I can't meditate, because they think it's this big taboo thing. But meditation is mindfulness. And essentially, mindfulness is just focusing on something in the present. If you can focus on your breath for a minute, then you're in the present. And yeah, it's okay if your mind goes searching and you're thinking about other things. It's just about bringing yourself back.
Even like daydreaming. Like, God, it's actually good for you. Don't look at your phone. Like, actually think about something. Like, just daydream. Like, I love daydreaming.
Yeah.
Or like when you're going for a walk, even like just point out something, look at it.
Yeah. Three things that you can see, three things that you can hear, three things that you can smell.
Yeah. Little things like that, or even as little as, you know, grounding yourself as well. So going for a walk without your shoes on,
yeah,
really feeling on the ground. I know it's a little bit weird, but like it makes it really present.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is a great thing. Yeah, meditation is great.
It is. And that GEM principle actually has a lot of research behind it as well. So if you want to have a happier life, maybe add a few of these things to it.
Yeah.
And you never know what could happen. You might be happy.
So that's essentially the, I guess it wasn't five books. I guess it was about six or seven. So, again, the books are Atomic Habits by James Clear, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Cash Flow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki. And then The Happiest Man on Earth by Eddie.
Man Search for Meaning.
So there is a few books there, but the title is definitely going to be five books.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. So stay tight.
Thank you so much to everyone that has listened to this episode. We truly do appreciate it. If you'd like to, you can give us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Obviously, a 5-star rating is only applicable. Furthermore, you can follow us on our socials, including Instagram and now TikTok at Tight Mates.